And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like us to go to the Old Testament reading this morning and certainly think about Psalm 1 that we read responsibly this morning, as well as all of these readings obviously tie in together. But the focal point really in these verses of Deuteronomy chapter 30, where we hear these words, and by the way, the context is God's people have wandered out in the wilderness for 40 years due to their rebellion against God after God delivered them from Egypt. And now the next generation, for the most part, are the ones that God is preparing through Moses in order to enter into the promised land. And in that context, God speaks these words to his church then and to us now. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Wow, what a statement from God to his people then and to us now. And did you catch it? The Lord is your life. He is your life. And in Psalm 1, you know, made evident that a life rooted in the Lord is like a tree that is planted by streams of water. And you saw that picture as you came in this morning. What a beautiful picture. Boy, do you see life in that picture? You know, the Lord is your life. And in Psalm 1, we had read responsively that the one rooted in the Lord is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. And certainly that is quite a visual of a prospering life as God desires us to have as his people. Well, think about this in light of these words as God informs and warns his people before entering the promised land. How does that hit you this morning individually? And I ask that to me as well. And I think we have something on the screen. This blank is my life. Now, obviously, the theme is the Lord is my life, right? And we heard in the text here that the Lord is my life. But be honest with yourself. What do you put in that blank? Because all the readings today address it. Boy, Jesus says some pretty harsh words, doesn't he? That literally we are to hate everything else and to honor him. Now, the Lord doesn't mean literally we hate people or ourselves, but he's emphasizing that he's number one, that he is to be the priority, the number one priority at the helm in our lives. And so as you ponder that in your own heart, as I do in mine, what honestly goes in that blank space? Well, we'll kind of hang on to that a little bit. But, you know, it's very evident as God reveals himself to us that he is the source of every and all blessings. He is the source. There is no other source. And certainly he revealed that, didn't he, to the Israelites, as he led them out of the bondage of Egypt. You know, and in Deuteronomy, Moses reminds them, he gives them a history lesson to remind them of what God has done among them. And Moses states that you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. And boy, talk about God revealing himself in quite visual ways with all the plagues, and then with the Passover itself, and then God delivering his people out of Egypt, and then the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, all of these, isn't it wonderful that we have that as our history? That we can also look back and say, absolutely, God did these incredible things. But we see his blessings just being poured out in sending Moses to deliver them, and all of the events that happened in that whole deliverance account. And then as they're out in the wilderness, and they're there because of their rebellion, but even as they're out in the wilderness for those 40 years, God reveals his providential care. And Moses, at the conclusion of this 40-year period, tells them in Deuteronomy 29, 5, and 6, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. You have not eaten bread, and you have not drunk wine or strong drink. So God he preserved their clothing and their footwear, because they didn't have the resources available to them to make new clothing and shoes. They certainly couldn't bake bread, and they couldn't process wine. They didn't have any of that with them. And yet God reminds them, I gave you the manna from heaven. And then God even provided the quail later on, right? And he also provided water. Everything, all of these blessings, they could not miss it, that without God they would be dead. But with God they had everything they needed to live. But sadly, most who experienced these incredible interventions by God rebelled against God. And I always like to call it that they had their fatal voters meeting. And the fatal voters meeting came after God sent the spies into the promised land. Remember that? And with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, all the other spies came out of that land and back to report to the people. And their report wasn't real positive, was it? They were terrified. Boy, these armies there, the people are huge, and we're going to be dead if we go there as God is directing us to go. And so in Numbers 14, 2-4, we get a synopsis of what their thought process was. But they conclude it by, wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? In direct defiance to God, who just delivered them out of Egypt, oh, wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. So they wanted to have their voters meeting, choose their own leader in defiance of God, and then return to Egypt. Well, what's God's response, do you suppose? Well, in verses 11 and 12 of Numbers 14, the Lord said to Moses, how long will this people despise me? How long will they not believe in me? Despite the signs I have done among them, I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. Wow, that's strong language. And disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they. Wow, did you catch the last part of that? Even though God's people rejected him in a very rebellious way, God does not reject his promise and his covenant that he has made. And so what a comfort to know when we doubt and fail God, God still remains faithful to his word and to his promises. But now in that context, to the next generation, as they are ready to enter into the promised land, here's what God has to say to them. And it's in Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments and statutes, then you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Notice the if clause, if. And then God goes on to say, But if, right, in verses 17 and 18, but if your heart turns away and you will not hear, and you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. God lays it on the line to his church then, as he lays it on the line to you and me today. And it really gets back to this defining question of who fills in the blank? Who or what really fills in that blank in your life? And I ask the same for myself. Well, visually, the Lord gives us quite a beautiful picture of what life is like if we are rooted in the Lord, right? It's like a tree that, or like a tree that is planted by streams of water. But what's the opposite? You know, in verse 4, talk about visuals. Now we're in Psalm 1:4. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind drives away. It's quite a contrast, isn't it? And it's all about what fills in that blank space in the question that we have before us here this morning. I don't know about you, but I would hope to be the tree, right? And I'm sure you would too. We don't want to blow away in the wind like dry, worthless chaff. What a visual that God gives to us today. Well, the good news is that the Lord not only is the source of all of our blessings, but he is the source of the greatest blessing, which is our life, our physical life, our spiritual life, our whole life. And God clearly reveals that to us, doesn't he, in his word, that God is our creator. He is the one who has created all things, but he's created you and me specifically as well. Without God giving you and me life, we would not exist. We would not be here worshiping him this morning. We would not have a physical life. In Job 33, we hear these words, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." It's not complicated. But I wonder how often we fail to fully appreciate that, to recognize God is solely the source of the life that we are blessed to have. And so when God tells his people then, as well as you and me now, choose life, it isn't as though, you know, we can make this life happen, but choose life really in essence means do not reject the life that God has already given you. Choose to keep that life and not throw it away. And God is openly revealing to us that he is the source. And so we should be openly proclaiming that very truth. And by the way, if we recognize God as the source of human life and all life, how do we look upon one another then? Does that change our perspective? Because every single human being has been created by God. And that really calls for, doesn't it, great respect. Great respect for all life. The Lord is your life, as God proclaims. Not only is he our creator, but he is our redeemer, isn't he? And with that redemption, there's something being purchased, and that's you and me. And if there's something purchased, it's for a price. And the price that God has chosen is blood. Think about it, the Passover, what was the price, the cost that was paid? It was the blood of the lambs, right? And the lamb's blood put on the doorposts of all the homes of believers, the angel of death passed over, and God delivered them from Egypt and from the firstborn in that household dying. But it was blood that was used to pay that price. Well, we know that that was a preview, a prophecy, a forerunner of the great blood that would be shed, the blood of not lambs, but the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, by the way, said at the cross, right, it is finished. Before Jesus died, he proclaimed those words. Everything has been done. The purchase has been made, but at a huge cost to God, right? In Hebrews chapter 9, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So Jesus shed his blood. God purchased you and me and all his people. He offers this to the world through faith that's our own possession. But it's the cost of Jesus' blood shed at that cross. A huge price that God was willing to pay and did pay. And through that, what happens? Don't you see the flourishing tree by the streams of water again in these words? In Hebrews again, that purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's a life of prosperity, by the way. It's not the physical prosperity, but spiritual prosperity. That we are in a place to serve the Almighty God. What an honor that is. And to prosper in doing God's work as he entrusts it to us. But you know, we can't make the decision to do that. We can't create this new life of faith within us, right? That also is a gift. And so threefold, God is our creator, he is our redeemer, and he is our sanctifier. And I'd like you to pull out your hymnals this morning to page 323. And this is Luther's Small Catechism. Some of you may have this memorized. But I'd like us to confess together again the third article of the Apostles' Creed and then read the meaning together that is there. And so we confess, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And then don't you love the meaning? And let us read it. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. And we can stop there for our purposes. But the emphasis here, isn't it, is we can't bring ourselves to this life. It's a gift. The faith, this new life, is a gift. And God makes us that flourishing tree. It's his gift to you and me. In Colossians 1, we hear these words. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. Isn't that quite incredible? He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And so this is our life. The Lord is your life by God's design. And so God says, therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. And then God describes what this way of life looks like, doesn't he? It's loving the Lord your God. So returning God's love back to him. It's obeying his voice. That God's voice is what's going to guide and direct our lives. And I love it. It's holding fast to him. Isn't that a beautiful language? Holding fast to him. That's what a blessed way of life is by God's design. Now, think about the power as parents and grandparents to model that, first of all, to live it in our own lives, but to model that for our kids and our grandkids. They learn most from what they observe, and we are in a wonderful place to show the way that God desires for us to live. And of course, we have the blessings, don't we, and the security of eternal life. And so we're living in that now in God's kingdom of grace, and we will see it in fruition in the kingdom of glory in heaven. That's our future. But it comes back to that question, and that is, the blank is my life. What is in that blank? And that's what I would have you pray about as I pray about honestly. And we know God's will. It's not that we would be chaff, but that we would be this flourishing tree by streams of water and blessed now and for eternity. I pray, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that you with me can say in all honesty and sincerity, the Lord is my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.